Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com. It's the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is an historian, philosopher, and the best-selling author of Sapiens. Please welcome Yuval Noah Harari. Nice to meet you. As I was saying backstage, I feel like I had interviewed you before because I've read Sapiens, I've seen you being interviewed, so it feels like we know each other. But everybody knows this book. This is Sapiens. It is one of the most successful nonfiction books of all time. And it tackled this sort of niche subject, you know, this niche subject, which is the entire history of humankind. And I'm just curious how you describe your field of study, since what you study is everything.
Well, I'm a historian, but I understand history not as the study of the past. Rather, it's the study of change, of how things change. And what makes it relevant to the present and future?
You recently turned your focus from the past to the future, we're talking about now, specifically the impact of technology. And it feels like things are changing incredibly fast. Like, this generation is undergoing a more rapid change of their technological environment than ever before. Is it really? Or does every generation feel that way? Like, people are going, why aren't we carving in stone anymore? These kids with their papyrus, why are they doing that? Is it real that we're actually going through some sort of accelerating change?
Every generation thinks like that, but this time it's real. And, you know, it's the first time in human history that nobody has any idea how the world would look like in 20 years. Now, of course, politically, it was always impossible to predict the future. If you live in the Middle Ages, you don't know. Maybe next year the Vikings invade, the Mongols invade, there is an epidemic. You can't predict that. That the basic stuff of human life, like the basic skills...
We're all going to be herding sheep in 20 years, no matter who's in charge.
You need to teach your kids how to plant rice or wheat, how to ride a horse, how to shoot a bow, because this will still be relevant in 20 years. Today, nobody has any idea what to teach young people that will still be relevant in 20 years.
Do we need to teach our young people anything now that AI is here?
How to deal with it.
How to deal with AI. Okay, so
that's one
of AI is, of course, one of the latest things that we've been anticipating for a long time. But now, in some, I actually think so far, very minor ways, AI is showing
up in our
society.
It's still a baby AI.
Okay.
We haven't seen anything yet.
Okay, so... a lot of people are worried. I'm not that worried about AI. I just doesn't get my blood going to get worried about AI. I think of some positive aspects of it. I mean, I've seen how humans have handled history, and not great. And so I'm ready for the, you know, big machines that make big decisions programmed by fellows with compassion and vision. You know, I'm ready for the machines to tell us what to do. Are you?
Not really. It's extremely dangerous.
Why is it
to give up power to something we don't understand?
But they're just extensions of us. I mean,
no, they're not.
Yes, they are. We made them. They're us.
We made them, but now they become potentially independent of us. The one thing to know about AI, the most important thing to know about AI, it's the first technology in history that can make decisions by itself and can create new ideas by itself. People compare it to the printing press, to the atom bomb. No, it's completely different.
But is there any proof that an AI has come up with a new idea?
Absolutely.
Of its own?
All the time.
What?
Yes.
Give me one.
For instance, deciding what to show us on social media.
Oh, well, that's not a new idea. No. That is making decisions.
Yes. So I said two things. Okay. There are making decisions and there are new ideas. If, for instance, you think about ideas, if you take, for example, the game of Go.
What is Go? I'm sorry.
A much more complicated version of chess.
Got it. Let's say. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
In East Asia, it's one of the oldest games we know.
Okay.
3,000 years of tradition in East Asia. Entire schools of thought. Okay. And AI comes, and within a few years, plays like no human ever imagined that it's possible to play. And this can happen in more and more fields. And we have never encountered anything like that before. Because every previous information technology, it's simply copied and disseminated our ideas. The printing press just produced more books. Television just broadcast our thoughts. Here we have something that can create entirely new ideas, which are not even bound by the limits of our imagination. You know, our imagination is the product of organic biochemistry. Mm-hmm. AI is not limited by that. Like almost all of human art is the same few biological dramas repeated again and again and again endlessly. Mm. Like sibling rivalry. Like you think entire mythologies and national mythologies are about we are father's favorite children. We are the chosen ones.
And this then is instead you'll get AI producing these sort of, instead of organic and biological necessities in the stories, you'll get technological necessities like a fear that instead of, you know, an Oedipus complex, the fear is that someone's going to cut off their power supply from the wall.
We don't know.
We don't know. Okay.
I mean,
but if we don't know, if it doesn't speak to our biological necessities, will it have any meaning for us?
It will shape our life. Already today, more and more decisions about our life. You apply to a bank to get a loan. Increasingly, it's an algorithm deciding whether to give you a loan or not. You apply for a job. It's not a human. It's increasingly a computer going over your CV or your entire social media feed and deciding whether to hire you.
Is there anything that excites you about it? Is there anything that you like about the idea? This is all pretty negative.
Well, excite, you know, excite is the most misunderstood word in the American language.
Anything positive. How about this? Anything positive about
lots
this?
Of positive things.
I haven't heard one.
We could have the best healthcare in history.
Could have. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Could have the best health. We might
absolutely
have new cures in ways that we hadn't thought of before. All right. So you have a new book now. It's called Unstoppable Us, Why the World Isn't Fair. I'll bite. Why isn't the world fair?
Hmm.
And is this a message? This is a message. This is for young people.
Yeah, it's for kids age 8 to 12.
Hey, kids. the world isn't fair.
They know the world isn't fair.
Okay, go
one
on.
One of the first things that, you know, kids everywhere say, it isn't fair.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's not something that adults only say. And in the end, from, you know, a historical perspective, it's the stories that we believe. But if you look at the major conflicts and injustices in the world, it's ultimately about the stories we believe. We are a storytelling animal. You know, some people think that human conflict, that humans fight over the same reasons that other animals fight, over territory, over food. This is rarely the case. If I think, for instance, about the terrible conflict in my region of the world between Israelis and Palestinians, it's not really about territory or food. There is enough land to build houses and hospitals and schools for everyone. There is enough food to feed everybody. People fight over the imaginary stories in their mind. Who is God's favorite children? Who God gave Jerusalem or these holy stones to? This is why most conflicts in the world are about, which is also good news, because if conflicts are about objective things, the only way to end them is with violence. But if conflicts are about the stories we believe, there is a chance, at least in some cases, to just talk about it and perhaps change the story and find a common story that we can both be happy with.
Thank you, Yuval. His new book, Unstoppable Us, Volume 2, is available now. Yuval Noah Harari, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.